Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and join with me in the red letters of Matthew chapter 7. We continue our study. In the modern translations, someone thought, you know, why don't we print the letters and the words and the statements that Jesus makes in the Bible, that Jesus states and teaches with his own voice, and print those in red to somehow distinguish visibly when you read the Gospels or quote in the Acts of the Apostles, somewhere where Jesus said this, or Jesus is speaking in the first person. Put those in red letters. And today we're focusing on another red letter passage, and we're picking up where we left off last week, the Sermon on the Mount. The last chapter, Matthew 7, continues the application of these kingdom principles. And so Matthew chapter 7, let's look together, starting in verse 7. Now Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Wow, powerful passage of Scripture. But every text needs its context to understand the meaning of the passage. We have to understand this is but one paragraph in a sermon Jesus preaches. Who is he speaking to? Is he speaking to everybody that's ever been created? No, he's not. These principles only apply to those who are in the kingdom. Those who are Christ followers, these are kingdom of God life principles. They do not apply to common Bill and Mary who are unbelievers. They cannot take Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and say, I'm claiming this promise of God. They can't. Now, Jesus and is assuming that you didn't come late to the Sermon on the Mount. He's assuming you didn't miss what is later printed in chapter 5 and 6, that somehow you missed the Beatitudes or somehow you missed the model prayer. Let's look just a page earlier, the model prayer in chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus is talking about prayer. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus is expecting you to have heard what he said here before we get to what is printed in chapter 7. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Are you following the model prayer? Here we have in the model prayer the how-tos of prayer. The how-tos of prayer. He's assuming you heard him say in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things that will be added to you? To those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then you can ask and it will be given to you. You will receive. Do you understand? We just can't take a text out of the context and say, Lord, if I just pray persistently for a Porsche, He'll deliver one in my driveway. You've missed the whole point of what Jesus is talking to His disciples about. And then when we get to this great motivation to pray that we'll cover today, what we see is the undaunted hope of prayer, the confidence we can have. Jesus is saying, now I've taught you how to pray. You wanted to know how to pray. I taught you how to pray. Pray like this. And when you pray like this, you can do so confidently because I'm telling you, if you will ask, you will receive. Then if you will seek, you will find. Then if you will knock, the door shall be opened. Man, the Master today is telling us, pray, pray, seek, knock. That ought to give you some motivation today. It ought to make you want to evaluate your prayer life. And maybe you feel like the half-brother of Jesus who writes in his epistle, James, hey, guys, the reason you don't have is because you're not what? You're not asking. Didn't you remember what my brother said, what Jesus taught us? His famous sugar stick sermon? He preached it on the mountains. He preached it on the lakeside. He preached it over and over and over again. Ask, ask, ask. Today, we have hope. We ought to leave here motivated to ask more, to seek more, to knock more. First, we see the persistent pleas from God's children. The persistent pleas, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, we all know that this is an English translation of a Greek text with some Aramaic in the New Testament. And we all know that we don't have the original documents that were written. They may exist somewhere, but archaeologists have not found them. Some of y'all been all reading on Facebook or social media about the difference between a King James translation and an NIV translation. And I'm like, come on, people. Have you been in a Bible study before? Haven't y'all ever covered? Don't you know the difference in the text? And we have found the original ones. I mean, we're operating from copies, the nearest copies that we have, and each one is using kind of a different copy that they found. The miracle is that when you look at even at all the copies, over centuries, how consistent they are, letter for letter. But are there some variations in the different copies? Yes. Is that surprising anybody? Have we not been in church from childhood and learned all this? Evidently not. So please don't fall for that kind of stuff. Don't do a little, just do a little study. Come on, people. Now, that same old crowd, they bring that stuff out every so often. And that's fine if that's your thing. But don't get caught up in that. And don't get worked up like I just got worked up over it. Just try not to. And that, let me, while I'm worked up here today, let me just say this. The sky is not falling. The world is not going to end. I understand. It is unsettling, and your pastor has been unsettled this week. And then I started preparing for this message again and was reminded, God is in control. You just keep doing what's right. Do not act like the pagans. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. All we have to do is kind of do what? Right here in Matthew 7:7, probably a good place for us to start when we get unsettled. Ask and seek and knock. He'll take care of all the big stuff. Let's be faithful Christians. Three pleas. Here in the Greek text, when you use these present tense verbs, what it means is continual action. The Greek doesn't use tense like we use tense in English. It describes the type of action. And here a present tense Greek verb means continual action. That's why it really, if you have maybe an amplified translation, it'll say ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. It's saying this ought to be a part of your lifestyle that you do. This is not a one-off. This is be persistent in your pleas as a child would to the Father. Ask and keep asking. And this word ask is as one who's in an inferior position speaking up to a superior who's in control and in charge and has power, and you're saying, I am pleading with you. I am asking you for what I need, for what I need. You see, we ask for things we need. Yes, sometimes we ask for what we want. But really, this harkens back to a child saying, Daddy, I need this. More than just I want it. When Jesus uses his illustration of a child asking for a father, the child is asking for what? Bread. Meat. He's not asking for, you know, Hot Wheels. Candy bars. You don't ask your daddy for that. You ask your granddaddy for that. And granddaddy going to get it for you. But it's this picture of daddy talking to father, I need these things. What do you need today? Seek. What do you seek? Things you're missing. There's something you're missing. You feel something in my heart is not right. Something in my life is out of kilter. I'm missing something. And you're just driven to a search for it. Your heart longs for it. Jesus is saying, yes, seek, seek. But seek the kingdom of God. That's what you're missing. And then knock. You knock when you feel shut out. You're knocking on doors feeling like you're shut out. Have you ever felt like you weren't included? Like you knew you were supposed to be at a certain place? You should be allowed entry into that, but yet for some reason you can't figure out who am I supposed to know or what's the combination on the lock. I just feel like that's the place I belong, and yet I'm shut out of it. I'm locked out. There's a door. There's an obstacle, and God is saying, knock, knock, keep knocking on that door. If it's God's door for your life, He'll open it. Man, every shut door is just the opportunity to go knock on the door that God wants to open for you. So ask, how's your pleas? How are your pleas? It's interesting that the word please sounds a lot like the word please. Do you have that kind of approach when you come to the Heavenly Father? Oh, Heavenly Father, please meet my need. Let's look at the next one, the comforting promises of the Father. We see in verse 8, he just reiterates what he said in 7, but he just says it in such a way that he wants you to be confident. He's just saying, listen, I promise this is what will happen. If you come to me, you're praying, my Father, who art in heaven, you are holy, holy, holy. I joined the angels today crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I'm telling you, the Father saying, start asking, start asking, start asking. Man, I can't. I hear your praise. You're coming to me. You're praising. You're pleading. You're confessing. You're coming as a child to the Father. And he says, for every one of my children that ask, they're going to receive. Every one of my children who seeks shall find, and everyone who knocks on that door of opportunity that I have for them, I'm going to open it wide open. It's going to be opened. What does God want you to ask for? What do you need today? In light of what God would say, seeking first His kingdom, asking the things of God. God, you know what's best for me more than I know what's best for me. So, Lord, I want to ask for things that are in your character, that are according to your will, that heaven may come down on earth, that what is true in heaven would be true in my life and true in my community and true in my nation. God, I'm pleading. This sounds exactly like something you would want for your people, and I'm praying for it, and I'm seeking it, and I'm knocking that the door would be opened in my lifetime. Do you think God wants your grandchildren saved? He wants everyone saved. Surely that would be including of your grandchildren. Well, let me ask you, are you praying for your grandchildren to be saved? Do you think God wants your neighbor to be saved, your friend to be saved? Well, how often are we pleading that our neighbors would be saved? I wonder if God would like to heal cancer. So many cancers He's given us the ability to already overcome and heal. But I wonder if God would want to rid this life of me. He healed people with infirmities when He was here. That He would give some one young person today. You know what I pray for you guys? I pray for, number one, you be healed of your sin. And that God would use you and your gifts and talents to fulfill your plan, whatever that is. Whatever that plan is for your life. But I've often prayed for someone in our youth that God had given a great intellect, that God would call you to be the one to discover the cure for cancer. Because I deal with so many people who are hurting with cancer. And I've seen it bring so much pain and so much death. And it's, our bodies are broken. And I think, Lord, wouldn't it be great? I pray for the next Billy Graham that come out of our student ministry. That's why we invest in children's ministry and student ministry. I pray for you. The Lord, would it please you that you would raise up the next Billy Graham out of the First Baptist Church Brookhaven student ministry for your glory. But I also pray, Lord, would you raise up the next doctor that would cure cancer out of Brookhaven, Mississippi. I think that's in light. I don't know. It's thy will be done, Lord. That's not your will. That's not what we want. But I wonder if we even are even touching the hem of His garment. If by faith we're even asking the good Father that promised, if you'll ask me, I'll do these things that's according to my will and I'll do them through you. I'm just looking for a group of people that will trust me enough to take me at my word. And the reason you have not is because you're not asking in faith. Could we have a people that would rise up and say, God, make Brookhaven different than every little town in this state? That this would be a state where people get along with each other and love one another and protect one another and exalt the name of that Christians come together across whatever lines there are and proclaim Jesus is Lord, period. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Well, why not ask God for that? What are we asking God for? We need it. We need it. It's not a want, it's a need. It's in line with His word. It's in line with His heart. Now, I will trust God to do it in His timetable or to do it wherever He desires. He's God. He knows what's best. But are you asking God? Is there something in your life that you're missing? There's something in your life that you're just not satisfied. You're not seeking the wrong things, but there's something that's missing in your life. Are you seeking God's will, God's best for your life? Are you seeking it, persistently seeking it in your heart, in your day? Is there just this underlying desire to be fed by the righteousness of God, to be quenched by the holiness of God, to thirst and hunger after goodness and godliness and righteousness, and that there's a part of you still seeking that fulfillment in your life? Keep seeking what you're missing. Is there opportunities that God wants you to experience? You may not know all the details, but it's very clear in His word, He wants you to experience these things. They're good things. Are you knocking on those doors that God would open them? I'm encouraging you. God has already promised them to you. Are we saying, God, I want your understanding. I need your strength. I need your hope in my life. The comforting promises of God. Now here's the Father speaking to His children, and He says, let me tell you and give you a reason why you ought to ask me. Give you the reason why you ought to keep seeking. Give you the reason why you ought to keep knocking. You say, well, man, I've been asking and seeking and knocking. I'm getting tired. Keep on, He says. Keep on, He says. Yours is not to worry about the timetable. Yours is just to ask and to seek and to knock. That's what He tells us to do. His is to satisfy according to His timetable. But look what He says here. He says, here's the reassuring reasons God the Father gives to you as His child. He says, for which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? He said, now you know good and well you're not going to do that. What kind of father? No father would do that. If he asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake. No one's going to do that. He said, if you, being evil, notice Jesus didn't say us. He didn't include Himself in that. Did you know that? He said, you. You. He'd been obedient to the Father. He knew all of us had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He hadn't. He said, even you, you know good and well you've sinned. But even in your sin, you know how to do good things. You know how a father ought to act, even if you don't always act that way. How much more the one who is sinless, the one who's perfect, will give good things to you. You see, the devil always delivers in false substitutes. For the next four Wednesdays, from 11 o'clock, our Wednesday 11 o'clock senior adult prayer luncheon, and adults are welcome to come. There's no age limit on it. If you're free at 11 o'clock, you come on. I'm going to be preaching four sessions out of 1 Kings chapter 21 and 22, and then we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 9. I'm taking R.G. Lee's famous sermon, Payday Someday, and in four devotional sections, I'm going to preach the eventual payday that comes to all those who disobey God. I'm going to show you in the scripture, just as R.G. Lee did. I had the privilege this Thursday to go to Union University, and I went through his archives. They have his original papers. I was able to get and they allowed me to take pictures of it. Now, this won't mean a thing to you. Most of you don't even know who R.G. Lee is. Before there was Adrian Rogers, and Adrian's predecessor, Dr. Rogers' predecessor at Bellevue, there was the longtime pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, Dr. R.G. Lee. Dr. R.G. Lee, I got to take pictures and look at an original manuscript of Payday Someday and take other pictures of the archives that they allowed me in the time that I had. But that message tells us basically this: the devil always pays in counterfeit. Oh, you're going to get paid, but it's in counterfeit. And look what the devil gives. Instead of a round loaf, you see, the idea was the bread in that day was like a round loaf. We even have them like sourdough bread. You come in a round loaf, not these rectangular loaves. It was a round loaf. Well, from afar, you couldn't really tell the difference between a round stone in Israel, because all their rocks are rounded off like that, and a round piece of a loaf of bread. He said, how many of you going to substitute a look-alike? And your child says, oh, look, Daddy's bringing me some bread. And when he gets there, nothing but a round stone. You thought it was bread. Or a fish looks kind of elongated, like an eel. An eel-shaped fish. And, oh, Daddy, I'm so hungry. Please give me some fried fish. And, oh, I got something right here. I just caught it. Let me, I'll bring it and fry it up for you. And then you get there, and instead of this eel-shaped fish, it's a snake. He said, no one would do that. In Luke's version, the sermon by the lake, same message. When we get to this part, Luke's version of this says, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You say, what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. The Holy Spirit is the best good thing you'll ever get. Of all the good things God could give you, the presence of His Spirit is the best good thing you could ever have. Because when you get the Holy Spirit, you get all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you love to say, you know what? I asked for love. That I didn't have to live in a world of hate. Oh, I could live in a world of hate, but I didn't have to be in it. Not my heart, not my mind. I could have love. I could be love in a broken world. I could experience love. How about peace? Wouldn't that be a great thing to ask for? Well, guess what? You can have it. How about joy? How about patience? How about goodness and faithfulness? How about gentleness and self-control and a sense of meekness in your heart? Wouldn't you love to have all that? Well, guess what? When you get the Spirit of God, you get all of those good things. And God promises those things to you. The Holy Spirit, my friend, is the best good thing God can give you. And then we conclude with this simple summary from the Master. So now he has preached what is written in Matthew 5. And he has preached what is written in Matthew 6. And he's preached the first part of what's written in Matthew 7. And he comes down after making all of these wonderful proclamations and truths. And he says, let me summarize the whole matter up in one statement. Now that's my kind of sermon. Concluding, tell me what you want me to know in one statement. Therefore, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you desire or would wish or would want that others would do to you, you do also to them, for this summarizes the law and the prophets. The instructions of what to do and what not to do in life. Now, this is not the first time something like this was ever stated in religious history. But there is a distinction the way Jesus taught it and the way you'll find it in religious history, especially among the rabbis. It's normally stated in history and philosophers in the negative. It's stated negatively. Don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. Don't murder somebody if you don't want them to murder you. Okay, I won't murder them. Don't steal things from somebody if you wouldn't want them to steal your stuff. Okay, I won't steal. You see, you could go on and on and on, and some people call that the silver rule. But the golden rule is what Jesus gives us here. He's saying, no, don't spend your life on your heels. What not to do. Be positive and progressive and live a life of what you should be doing and give. Do to others what you would want them to reciprocate back to you. Be kind to others if you want people to be kind to you. You want people to be a friend to you? Well, be a friend to them. You want people to experience patience with you? When you're on edge and had too much coffee and it was a bad day to begin with, and you're a little jittery about everything, what do you mean by that? You want them to be patient with you? It's summertime and mama woke you up before 12 o'clock in the day and you a little grumpy? And you want them to be patient with you, give you a little more time? Well, guess what? Be patient with them. You see, it's in the positive. What a kingdom of God we get to experience in this life. What a joyous life He has for us. And He says, ask, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Oh, my friend, to those who ask, there's a great song. It's as simple a song as has been written. It's almost a kumbaya song, but it's been written in the last 30, 40 years or so. Relatively modern. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. When I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. There's your answer right there. What are you asking for? That you will find. And you'll receive? What are you seeking for that will satisfy what you think you're missing? What opportunity? Where do you feel like you belong? A place you belong, and you're not quite there yet. What's the answer? Jesus. Give me Jesus. That's what you're asking. That's what you're seeking. And that's the door He'll open. Jesus, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, for those who've yet to give their life to Christ, I pray they would humble themselves. They would humble themselves and say, Lord, why have I waited so long? Why have I thought that the substitutes were anything like the real gifts you give, the good gifts you give of life and hope and strength and power and healing over the brokenness of this world, the friendships that last forever, the hope of marriage and life on this earth, and the life to come. Oh Lord, forgive me of my sin. I place my faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I receive your free gift of forgiveness and salvation. And oh Lord, today I come. I will take my stand for Christ. No longer will I be deceived. No longer will I wait. Give me Jesus today. Oh Lord, that someone would come. That someone would trust you enough to ask for your forgiveness. You'll give it to them. Someone may need a church home. Others are being called to ministry. Someone today has been trying all the wrong things. Once again, Lord, we are so fickle. We get weak, Lord. Yes, we do. But today we come in your strength and we come in your promise. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing to the Lord today, and you come as the Lord leads you.